Hello and welcome to the Earth Trust podcast. I'm Verity Warne, Head of Communications at Earth Trust. Today is the 1st of March and we're starting to see the signs of spring finally. Buds on trees, daffodils, all those great things. At Earth Trust, we are all about noticing and nurturing new beginnings this spring. Our annual Lambing Festival has been one of the public events that we're best known for. It's a fantastic, fun family day out, which attracts up to 8,000 people over two weekends. But COVID has meant that we've not been able to run the event for the past 3 years. So we're incredibly excited to be relaunching the event this year. Whilst the focus of the event is definitely on family fun, there are some key underlying messages about food and farming. So earlier this week, I spoke to Paul, our Head of Land Management, and Ian, our Director of Programmes and Partnerships, about some of the key issues that we're exploring.
So usually when we try and have these podcast conversations, we're outside in the fresh air. But today we're all talking remotely and not at all near a farm. But Paul, you've got some lovely pictures of cows behind you there. So you're making us feel like we're still outdoors a little bit. Ian, do you want to say a little bit about why Earth Trust has a lambing festival and sort of what the background to that has been for us?
Yeah, there's a real importance in the United Kingdom across the whole of the nation, I think, but elsewhere, but especially in the United Kingdom, where we are so disconnected from farming. And what farmers do and what happens on farming land, not just from a food production perspective, but what farmers really get up to and how vital it is. There's a bit of, that disconnect has been there for decades. And therefore opening up your farm and welcoming people onto your farm so that they can see what's going on, understand things better is incredibly important and never more so than now. And we have to give a huge nod to one major organisation and charity that really got this going nationally probably just over a decade, two decades ago, which was LEAF, Linking Environment and Farming, who a lot of people will be aware of their Open Farm Sunday that happens in June. And this is us doing a little bit of that as well. So starting to really welcome people onto the farm and engage them with what we're doing.
So, Paul, obviously the last kind of couple of years of lambing festivals has not happened because of COVID. So are there things that we're doing differently this time or some new messages that we want to get across to people this year?
Yeah, I think we need to sort of look back at what's happening and what's changing in farming at the moment. And the economies within farming are one of the major factors that are driving change and the way that we need to think and integrate the environment to try and support the operations that we need to achieve on an arable and mixed farm basis. So, you know, a lot of farmers now are reevaluating how they farm and how livestock now fits in to their operations. And the potential now for livestock is immense within mixed farming opportunities. And we need to actually reevaluate this and showcase this. And the lambing event gives us this chance to do so. So one of the major things, you know, that farmers are looking at is their soils. We're going back to basics again, because soils have got forgotten how important they are. They are life to everything that we look at, and we grow, and the food we eat and the biodiversity it supports, everything stems from having healthy soils. Having livestock is a vital part of that because of the recycling process and the management process that they give to those soils through their dung, through their urine that they secrete, but also the valuable part that they play in grazing the landscape, because the landscape has been modelled by livestock. We can't forget that, and the biodiversity that we have out there is dependent on livestock as well, because that, you know, they've sort of adapted, and the livestock have created the habitats we now have. So at the lambing event, it gives us this chance now to actually showcase and discuss all of these things, and as well as the welfare and, you know, the management of such systems.
So we hear a lot, don't we, about the impact that meat consumption is having on the environment and on climate. Is that something that we are bringing out in the way Earth Trust approaches its farm management?
Yeah, definitely. I would say that that's one of the crucial things, because farmers have, you know, again, we've gone in over the past years. Livestock farming in particular, and also arable, has gone intensive. What we now need to do is go much more extensive with how we manage our landscapes and our livestock. And also the other thing that we need to discuss and showcase is the benefits of using the right animals, the right breeds, and the right place to help us manage the type of grasslands, the wildflower grasslands that we have at the Earth Trust, and the varied habitats that are across the UK. And we've got varied habitats on the Earth Trust. And, you know, we are in a privileged situation that we can showcase quite a lot of this. What we must remember as well is what the diets of these animals, and particularly some of these more traditional breeds, which we will no doubt be highlighting for people when they come along, and you know, and the strengths that gives to the healthy production and the meat that comes from them.
So are we saying that if you do want to continue to eat meat, what you need to do is look at where that meat comes from, how it's been farmed, reducing, you know, the carbon miles that go into the food chain? Is that the sort of key messages that we might get across there?
Yeah, it really is. It can't be underestimated how important it is for people to understand where meat comes from in particular. As soon as you start to look at, I mean, I know there's quite a lot of rhetoric out there from politicians and food producers themselves about the fact that UK produced meat is the best in terms of welfare and climate and rearing conditions. But that really is true. It really is the case. And it's not all just marketing fluff about telling people that that is the case. So as soon as you start to look at imported meat, the footprint, the carbon footprint, is not just about it being transported. It is literally to do with the production system. So even our very dear neighbours in nearby Europe use housed systems for livestock that are not legal in the UK. And those housed systems, to keep an animal indoors, requires phenomenal amounts of electricity, cleaning facilities and machinery and kit to move the slurry, and all these other really, really intensive processes that just add to the carbon footprint. So it's not just about the animal and how far it travels, but it's that entire intensive process that we were talking about earlier. So yeah, eating UK meat that has a standard associated with it, you know, a really good recognised standard, shouldn't be undervalued.
And one of the things that I guess is unique about Earth Trust is that we are farming, we're a farming charity, we're much more accessible to the public to come and have a look at what we do. But also we are farming in an area of outstanding natural beauty. So the way we farm is critically important in terms of how we contribute to our landscape. So this year, it's the first time that I think we've been supported by the FIPL project, Farming and Protected Landscapes.
Which is an amazing relationship that we've got with the North Wessex Downs AOMB and this Farming and Protected Landscapes Fund. And that fund was put out nationally by DEFRA a couple of years ago, really part of the environment plan, the government's environment plan, which is about protecting all kinds of really important places, so national parks and the AONBs across England. And this fund is really there to incentivize farmers, land managers to do things that do really protect the landscape, you know, the clue's in the name. So yeah, we're hugely grateful for that support, and it helps us to almost like really focus our mind on what we're doing on that livestock system and how that works. So we know that people hugely value the Whitnam clumps and the land all around us. And this, the great, you know, people really get a connection when they see the cattle grazing on the clumps in particular. But the way that we do that has to be so carefully managed and so precisely done. And we're still on a learning curve about how we do that for the benefits of the landscape and the ecosystem around us.
And Paul, what are some of the sort of plans for the future, the ones that you can share about how we might continue to evolve our farming practices going forward?
Yeah, I think one of the major things which comes in for, you know, will fit in quite nicely with what we're trying to demonstrate at the lambing event with the livestock is rotation diversity. We have various problems, as many farmers do, that can relate to grass weeds that are in our crops, particularly one called blackgrass. And we need
you very carefully didn't swear then.
Close to it. We need to be able to control that. And one of the major ways now of, you know, what we have to realize is a lot of the weeds we've got, are chemical resistant. All farmers need to, move away from their chemical toolbox. We realize that we can't afford to carry on with that. Also, the other thing we need to move away from is synthetic fertilizers, because we can't afford to do that. And also, the impacts both of these are having on the environment. So what we're looking at very much is, a more robust, rotation that actually integrates herb and legume lays. And in doing so, improving the soils, but where the livestock comes in is they can actually graze these herb and legume lays, and they can recycle all that goodness back into the soil, and also make use of that forage, to hopefully produce some really healthy, high standard sort of livestock with that comes with tasty meat as well at the end of it, because unfortunately every farmer has to make money. Everything has to be sustainable in its own right. But what we're looking at is very much a partnership. This is the way I describe it, with the environment. So both the farm and the wildlife and the environment, they all work together and benefit from each other. So that's one of the major things and changes that we're going forward with our rotations.
Paul, am I right in saying, because you're kind of our expert on this front, but one of the things that I've been reading about and heard about is that you talked about, you know, putting new grasses, plants, forage into the land, into the ground, essentially, quite a lot of which are old, you know, old plants. They have heritage value to them. And actually, if you go back only 50, 60 years before we were starting to use fertilizers, insecticides in that heavy kind of way, these kind of plants would naturally have existed more within the forage. And my understanding is that they have the potential to provide more of that natural immune system boost for animals as well, so that they become more self-medicating through what they eat and therefore don't have to use as many antibiotics and that sort of thing, which of course we've completely lost over the last 50, 60 years of breeding animals into antibiotic resistance.
You're dead right. They call it anthelmintic effect. Okay, so things like chicory, plantain in particular, are very, very good for that side of things for animal medication, lowering vet costs, etc., and improving the health. But what we need to remember is, you know, a lot of these herbs that are out there, for livestock, they've got those natural vitamins and minerals within them. And unfortunately we've gone away from that because we need the, you know, with the most of the continental breeds or the breeds we're using, or most farmers have been led down the path to use because they've been more cost effective and cost efficient. We've gone to ryegrass, which is quick growing species, yields well, but doesn't have any of these properties really in it. Mm-hmm. So we now need to turn a corner again. And this is exactly what's happening in agriculture, really, generally, is that we've gone back to basics. We've forgotten basics. We need to get the basics right and work and build up from that.
Paul, you were talking at the beginning of our conversation about some of those big changes that are happening across the farming sector and the way farming is funded. So for people who don't know, are the new policies and the new incentives that are coming in intended to support some of that and allow farmers to make different choices?
Yeah, I mean, it's going very much away. We've got the basic farm payment, which every farmer receives a payment per hectare. That's now on its way out. So by 2027, that will no longer exist. What the government's bringing in is very much linked to the environment and biodiversity, encouraging farmers to farm in a different way to help manage the environment, but also at the same time to make their farm sustainable in an economically sustainable in a different way. I know a lot of farmers. I've spoken to a lot of farmers in my past before I came to the Earth Trust and worked with a lot of farmers, and a lot of farmers are reinvesting now to get their business ready for 2027 when the massive change comes in that the BPS is no longer there.
And I guess that's potentially a role that we have to play in trying out what we've already been doing, but building on some of those techniques so that we're modelling what is possible. Is that what you would say some of our role is about?
Very much. I think we've got a massive opportunity to demonstrate, influence, educate, and also learn ourselves. And I say demonstrate, but not just demonstrate the good things, but also demonstrate the bad things, warts and all. Because, you know, we're human, we make mistakes, but that is how you learn. And farmers love learning from farmers. Landowners love learning from landowners. The public can learn from us. We can learn from everyone else as well. And, you know, that's the way that we need to go forward.
Fantastic.
And actually, just building on that, that's absolutely spot on. And part of the Farming and Protected Landscapes Fund, one of their main focuses with farmers like us is exactly that, focusing on how can we share what we're doing, what we're learning, what's gone wrong, what's gone right with other farmers all around us. Because, of course, what we do on our farm is all very well and good. But if our immediate neighbours in the surrounding landscape aren't also, you know, driving towards the same goals, then you don't get those landscape scale changes that you really want to see across an area of outstanding natural beauty.
We've talked quite a lot about the farming system and quite a sort of policy and practice perspective. But for people who are coming to our lambing event, what can they expect to actually see on the day, Paul? What have you got in store for them?
Yeah, there'll be a variety of things going on. They arrive in the car park and they can then they can go for a wander. They can either wander down and take a tractor ride. Straight up.
Will you be driving? You'll be going to be our friendly farmer waving at people.
Probably won't be, not this one. Probably just as well, actually. You'll probably see me wandering around, doing a lot of direction. You know, that's what I probably am better at. But, and they can wander down to the lambing sheds, and be able to wander in and see newborn lambs. Whether or not they will see a ewe lambing, they may do, they may not. That's the luck of the draw. At the same time, we will have some goats there. which again they can go and have a look at, and they can feed some kids in a special area. They can learn as well. The whole point of this is a learning process of what it takes to manage livestock and what sort of livestock are good for our systems or more suitable for the systems we've got. There will be a few other fun things going on from welly wanging to various other activities around the yard, as well as that. And then when they've finished with all that, I think there's going to be a barbecue going on that they could actually go and purchase food. But if they get fed up with all that, they can go up to the cafe and have a cup of tea and piece of cake and generally talk about everything they've seen.
I was just sitting here thinking about the other fascinating bit about it, and this time of year in particular, so end of March, early April, I think we all know that it could either be 22 degrees or it could be -1.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happens at that time of year. And I think that's a fascinating bit about farming in the UK, is that unpredictability of what it's going to be like. Farming doesn't stop. It still carries on. Lambs still get born. The ewes still, carry on with life regardless. And I guess that's part of the point of this festival, is regardless of whatever the weather is doing, what the climate is throwing at us, that new life still carries on. So it's just going to be really exciting to see that, whatever the weather is doing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And actually, we have to give a massive shout out, don't we, to our shepherdess Emma, to let us essentially watch her do her work. at a very busy time of the year.
It's very much we're throwing our doors wide open for everyone to come in and see and come in and engage with us. So it's we're hoping that everyone comes and has a really good time and goes away having learned something new.
But I think, Ian, what you say about everything waking up, everything is waking up in the countryside sort of end of March, April. And same with the cropping. Things are now, the soils are warming up. We've got a magic 5 degree centigrade sort of target when we know that our crops in the field will start growing. They start need that extra help to grow and more nutrients from the soil. They start taking up all of that. Our trees start coming into life. Our wild flowers start appearing. There's a chance to see it. There's that chance to see it.
Yeah, and actually we should mention too that we're doing this lambing festival also, around it. We're sort of talking about spring to life and about noticing and nurturing nature around you. And we've got some great ideas for people on our website on how they can do that. So yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for taking this time to not be in the field and talk to us. I know you've got some super busy time ahead of you. So yeah, it's been great to talk to you both. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
By inviting nature into our everyday routine, we can all help make this spring a season of growth. Take a look at our Spring to Life landing page on the Earth Trust website for more ideas on how to notice and nurture nature this spring.